Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's NFL time. To talk about the NFL, we welcome in Howard Balzer, who joins us on the show from the Sports Exchange. Find him on Twitter at HBalzer721 on Twitter. Howard, how you doing, my friend?
Ken, I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Let me ask you this before we get to the quarterbacks and everything else. Is a week-long suspension during training camp an actual punishment?
I think you know the answer to that one.
I mean, they say, oh, Jalen Ramsey suspended for a week, and you got people who are suspended. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now, they're supposed to go up to – I didn't know this. A person on Twitter alerted me to this. Jacksonville's to go to Minnesota and practice up there all week. It's still probably going to be humid. It's still in the 80s. You get to stay at home and play video games and probably work out on the treadmill and not have to go through the rigors of camp. I don't understand how that's any sort of an actual punishment there.
Exactly. And so you miss a few practices, like you said. I assume that means you'll miss the next game, which, of course, will really have a major impact on them and the season when they're probably going to play no more than a quarter or a quarter and a half anyway. So, yeah, I don't get that one. Now, if there's a fine to go along with it, then, you know, perhaps, I mean, that's what they should have just done. In fact, what they should have done is they should have forced them to play the whole game in the preseason. That would be more of a punishment. Of course, then you risk an injury. But just fine them. I mean, that would be the thing to do. This one is a little bit strange in terms of trying to make anyone believe that this is a legitimate discipline.
The great Howard Balzer joining us on the show talking about the NFL. We're going through the preseason. Now, I just went on some crazy rant about, hey, you know, if a team wants to sit a guy, unless the guy ahead of him is just that bad, then I still have to question the tactics of the coach or maybe even the quarterback that's selected. But if a team wants to sit a guy, I have yet to see a guy who ended up being a good quarterback or was thought to be a good quarterback who ended up sitting too long. And if a team wants to let a guy learn that way, I just don't know the overall bad part of that.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I think that, you know, there have been cases. I remember, you know, this goes back however many years it was, gosh, 20 or so, when Phillip Rivers didn't play the first couple of years in San Diego and Drew Brees was there. And, of course, you know, he came in and was, you know, was a heck of a quarterback. You know, I think generally that it makes sense, especially when you're drafting a guy high, get him out there and play him and get the bad stuff out of the way earlier than you will, because no matter when you play a guy for the first time in this league, there's going to be some growing pains. And now the caveat to that is, what is the team situation? How is the offensive line? How is the support cast? How is the running game? You know, all those things. And unless you watch a guy in training camp and see, oh, man, he just isn't ready at all, he just doesn't know the offense enough, then I can understand it a little bit. But the flip side of that, see, I can give a caveat for everything I say. The flip side is, even when a young guy or a first-year player, first-year quarterback plays, they don't give him the whole offense. I mean, they just give enough that the guy can run it and get his feet wet and get comfortable. So, like I said, I think, but every situation, I think, is the key. And I think that having a running game and the offensive line is most important. Because the one thing you don't want to do is put a guy out there in a bad offense and it's second and long and third and long virtually all the time, and then there's hardly any possibility for any success.
Very true. Howard Balzer joining us on the show. Who do you think will end up being the best rookie quarterback?
Wow, that's, you know, I still believe I think several of them can be really good. And certainly who ends up being the best, let's be honest, depends on the team and what the supporting cast will be. But I liked Baker Mayfield going in. I felt that there wouldn't have even been a question about him being the first overall pick, if he was 6'3 or 6'4. And I just think the guy's going to be a special player. And a lot of it has to do with the intangibles, which he was demonstrating already in the Browns opener with the rookie Antonio Callaway at wide receiver, in terms of, you know, being a leader and doing all that. So I think he's going to be, you know, maybe the best. But I'll tell you, like I said, I think that, you know, I think this was a very, very good class overall. And if the teams develop around these guys, then I think all of them have pretty darn good chances of having successful careers.
What do you think of the new helmet rule?
I think that what the NFL is trying to do, I can't argue with. And I understand the reason for it, but I believe it's going to lead to issues. You know, the NFL likes to always talk about unintended consequences, which is sometimes why they don't put in new rules. Well, this is one that could be rife with unintended consequences, which to me will be inconsistency in how it's called. And that, I think, is the real red flag here. Because the reality is that all officiating crews call a lot of things differently. You know, teams go into every week in this league, and when they find out who the officiating crew is, the first thing the head coaches do is go look at the numbers and say, oh, is this a crew that calls holding a lot? Is this a team that calls pass interference a lot? Is it a crew that lets those things go? They all know that going in. Well, I think with this, it's going to take a while to figure out how it's going to be called. And then, like I said, you wonder if it's going to be called consistently. And as we know, in this sport, you know, it's easy to see after the fact on slow motion whether a call was correct or not. But when it can't be reviewed and officials are urged, anything close, call it, just like they do with defenseless players, then you're going to have a bunch of mistakes, even with some degree of consistency, because it happens so fast on the field at regular speed. And so I think it's just going to add to a lot of problems that is going to be apparent pretty quickly when the intensity. You know, I hear people asking coaches, well, how do you think it's being called so far? Well, you can't judge by one preseason game. You can't even begin to judge until the intensity of the regular season begins.
Howard Balzer joining us on the show. My fear is that we're talking about helmets and head protection and always a fear of litigation here. This isn't like it is with what's a catch, where you could walk some of this back. Once you go through that door, I don't know if you could take any of this back, because this is all predicated on safety, Howard.
Right. No, that's a good point. It's a real good point. And, of course, the defenseless player was because of that, too. The catch was not, but the whole crackdown on defenseless players was also because of safety. And so, no, you're right. You can't go back on it, but you continue to have situations where, oh, they called it, they threw the flag, and then you watch the replay, and it says, oh, my goodness, that wasn't a penalty. Now, that shouldn't have been called. And the real danger here with the helmet rule is when they started ejecting players, and that turns out, because I think there's a lot of problems in college, and at least in college, they corrected at least part of it immediately, or at least after the first year, that they could review it to see whether to uphold the ejection, but they still don't change the penalty. And if a player starts getting ejected for borderline stuff, that's where you could really have some problems. And, you know, they say ejection's only in an egregious situation, but hey, like I said, sometimes something looks egregious at first look, and then when you watch it on replay, it's not.
Howard Balzer joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. What do you think, how do you think John Gruden's going to fare? Because there's a lot of folks starting to question, just because he's been away for a while. We don't know about the situation with Khalil Mack. People are talking about trading him. So do you think he'll be successful here with the Raiders? What's your thoughts?
Real good question. And, I mean, the guy is a very good offensive coach. But what everyone seems to forget, it seems like his coaching pedigree, if you will, or the perception of him was going up every year he was away. And what everyone seems to forget, except for the first year in Tampa when he was coaching with Tony Dungy's players, they weren't very successful in Tampa Bay. It was just an average team, and they never developed a quarterback. Now, the difference here is they have a quarterback, so that should be a big plus. And so I think with the talent they have on offense, that they should at least be pretty good and competitive. You know, the defense with or without Khalil Mack, it hasn't been a very good defense even with him. So whether how much of a difference that makes, I don't know. The big question this year, though, and it'll probably be a little unfair to judge based on one season, is that he turned that roster over tremendously. If you look at it, the number of veterans that departed in the offseason and then the number that arrived has led to a roster where it's a tremendous makeover. And it's not easy to develop a team right away. You can have good players here and there, but you still have to play as a team to win in this league, and that takes time to develop that chemistry. So I don't know if it's going to happen right away. I think in time, with Derek Carr and some pretty good offensive talent, they should be okay. But obviously, to be really good, they've got to come up with a better defense, and that means a lot more good players that goes a lot deeper than just whether they have Khalil Mack or not.
About 90 seconds, what team makes an ascent? What team starts to fall down?
What was the first one? What team what?
What team starts to really make their way up through the standings and starts to compete? What team starts to go on their way down?
Yeah, good question. I think that a team that is rising, I think, is – I'm really curious what's going to happen with the Bears. I think they've got a chance to get pretty good if this offense comes together. The defense stayed pretty much the same. I don't know if it'll happen this year, but I think it's a team to keep an eye on. In terms of a team falling, I'm really curious about Kansas City. I don't see them falling far because Andy Reid's a heck of a coach, and they have excellent offensive talent, which should make the development of Patrick Mahomes go decently. But I don't think this is going to be a team as good as it has been the last couple of years because of that. And so another team I think that could take a jump is the Giants. Everyone forgets this is a team that was in the playoffs two seasons ago. And with the addition of Barkley and getting receivers back healthy and a better offensive line, this could be a team that will really challenge in the NFC East.
Howard, we thank you very much for the time. All the best, my friend, and hopefully we'll talk to you again very soon.
Anytime. Always enjoy it. Take care, man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.